Dear Sangha, today at the 9th of December, the year 2010, we are at the Full Moon Meditation Hall of New Hamlet during our winter retreat. Here is a happy moment. In the past, we have used the word engaged Buddhism. And nowadays, we use the word apply Buddhism. Since the years 1930, in China, there is the expression Yang Yang Phat Yao, I think that engaged to the world Buddhism. Yang Yang. I don't know how to. Textually is worldly Buddhism, but it means that the Buddhism in our dailies is not outside of, not to wait for, to die and to enter into the pure land. It is a kind of worldly Buddhism, the Buddhism of this world, this very world. And it was 1930, the year of 1930, by Thái Sư. And in Buddhist, in Vietnam, we also have that, but we call engaged Buddhism. Thái have written a book called Engaged Buddhism. Buddhism into the daily life. Textually mean Buddhism enter into daily lives. Đạo Phật đi vào cuộc đời. In the last 10 years, in the last few decades, people used to use the word apply Buddhism. In 1945, it's about 64 years. In Vietnam, we have a magazine called Liberation. At that time, we have a number of very advanced Buddhists who have made a newsletter, Phật học Đức Dục. It means education on Buddhism. And this magazine is called Liberation. And the title is Organism to study Buddhism, to make a research on Buddhism and put into practice. An organism to educate Buddhism and put into dailies. And that movement have been led by Lê Đình Thám. And one of the members is Võ Đình Cường too. Led by Võ Đình Cường, one of the members is Võ Đình Cường. He's the head of Buddhist youth in Vietnam for the last 60 years. He passed away already. So, they are in that group. The organism to study, to make a research about Buddhism and put them into practice. Put it into practice. Apply Buddhism means put into practice every action of our daily. It's not just humanitarian work, it's everything. Everything on the way we walk, the way we act, the way we work, the way everything. So in mathematics, they also have applied mathematics. Any study, any education who can help you to put into practice on your dailies. There are many scholars who used to say that Buddhism is a kind of applied metaphysics philosophy, but apply metaphysics philosophy, but apply, can put into application. In many universities in Europe, as well as in the United States, there are many, many branch about Buddhism, and you can make a PhD on Buddhism too, in quite a number of university in Europe as well as United States and Australia too. But that study is not applied Buddhism. The knowledge is very vast. The documentary is plenty and very scientific, but you cannot put into practice. Most of them are now, most of the institute or university of Buddhism in Vietnam as well as many other Asian countries, there are more scholastic learning than putting into practice. And those who are graduate, those who have the PhD on Buddhism, even they have a very vast knowledge, very scholastic knowledge, but they cannot put into practice quite a number of things, even in their own family. So that is, we call theoretical learning. In Buddhism, in Plum Village, we are determined not to follow that path. We decide that everything you learn, you have to be very useful right here and now, at every act of your dailies. And in the last trip in Asia, I have organized Asian Institute of Applied Buddhism. Because we have European Institute of Applied Buddhism in Germany already, and Plum Village is also a kind of Institute of Applied Buddhism. And so, as well as in Deer Park, as well as in Blue Cliff, everything we learn, every kind of Buddhism we learn in this center are only for Applied Buddhism, but not Scholastic Buddhism. And every retreat we organize in Germany, in Holland, in France, in Italy, in United States, Indonesia, Malaysia, etc., on are the transmission of the applied Buddhism. We try to transmit the practice of applied Buddhism. We try to transmit the maximum of what we learn, the concrete, practical things that Buddha have offered. Because we have no time for scholastic. there's so many theory already, so we don't need to learn one more theory. And we learn to put into practice what we can put into application right away. And the day where the French President Sarkozy just being elected, he has some good idea that we can bring back to the school and high school and university the morality study. He want to bring the some time for learning morality and because in the past there is time for learning catechism, it means the teaching of Jesus Christ, but and after the French Revolution they call instruction civique, it means education for a good citizen to behave correctly, but since Sarkozy give that that idea to bring that instruction of morality to school, and then there is some intellectuals say that if we set up that that time, that branch in school, and then the teacher, what they can teach, they don't know what to teach. Because morality become a terrible word that people don't like. And this one day I was invited by UNESCO in for the Vesak. I mentioned in the talk in UNESCO, I said that I have an idea that in that time of education in school, we have to teach something very concrete that the student can learn, the pupil can learn, and right away they can put into practice and relieve their suffering. I have been requested in the past by UNESCO to write a book on education, practical education, and then we are about to complete, and then the man who requests us for that, he's no longer in that job, and so we use that book for other things. So we in Plum Village, we try to put into practice what the in the past I was asked to education for peace, for understanding, for dealing with our anger, our emotion, and so on. So Thay and a number of his senior students have written a book, this kind of educative book, where we offer a number of practical methods that we can have peace right away in your body, in your mind, and in your family, in your place of work, and how we can have good relation with those who live around you and in society. And this book has been written in the form of a kind of educative book. Kind of a textbook for the teachers. Textbook for teacher. At the beginning, I thought that I was recommended by one man in UNESCO. Free press. Yeah, free press. Yeah. And then after that, that man is no longer in charge of UNESCO, and so we have to sell the book to free press publisher. And then they request to enrich even that book by saying that, can you, when you tell a practice like that, can you illustrate by a number of cases? And we did. And that book is named Creating True Peace, published by Free Press, and one day in UNESCO, I also told the same thing, and you said that I said that UNESCO have to make an institute to train school teachers to practice so that they can have right away peace, relax, happiness in their body and their mind. And then after that, they can share to their students, their pupils. And he said that, well, we can offer our skill if you like. But so far until now, it's nothing follow up yet, but we still follow up in our different center of Plum Village, affiliate with Plum Village, like Deer Park, Blue Cliff, Magnolia Grove Monastery, here in Vietnam, Hong Kong, Indonesia, and so on. First of all, we have to train people to bring their mind back to their body by the methods called conscious breath, conscious walk. When you walk consciously, your mind is totally with your body, with your step. Your mind is not pulled away by this thought or other thought. You are not under the stress or the tension. You really relax, go back peacefully, bring your mind peacefully back to your body, and then that is we call morality. That is giving some apply good moral for the person to be peace, to be relaxed, to be refreshing, release all the tension. And we have you feel already relaxed, even you have a lot of problem, but at least train yourself to be relaxed. And the fourth verse is the size of the sutra on mindfulness breathing is for that. We are aware of your in-breath, aware of your out-breath. You follow on along of your in-breath and out-breath. You are aware of your body, the third exercise, and you release tension in your body. That is the first four exercise. And after that, you can be aware of your joy, your happiness, aware of your negative emotion, and you release tension, so on. So we bring your mind back to the present moment, touching our peace, our relax, recognize the irritation, a painful feeling in us. And when you are aware of that, and then you are aware, you release. You know that when you are aware that you are in painful, you are in pain, you are in anger, you are in fear. So you try not to act, not to speak, not to do anything. Try to touch the positive thing, touch your peace, embrace your anger and leave it there, soothe them and make them peaceful, more peaceful, and before you can act, you can behave in such a more beautiful way, dignified way. So you recognize what is painful in your body, painful in your mind, and then you embrace them, you send your love, your care to that physical pain and that mental pain. And you will be educated how to do in the way that you can relax your body, you relax your mind, and you need to train. You cannot just talk. You need to train yourself. And the training is to be helpful with the Sangha. When you learn to listen deeply, very subtle situation of your mind, usually people have no ability to go back to your pain, you try to serve others, but you forget a number of little physical or mental pain, subtle mental pain in you. You need to know, to look deep, to release, to get out of this even little pain, so that you really have a deep peace. And then you, meanwhile, you do not stop to also helping people around. It doesn't mean that you have to stop everything, but at least try to touch your peace and don't run away of that subtle feeling. Usually people have the habit to run away from all these painful feeling by covering them with listen to the music, open the television, read some novels, an exciting novel, in order to cover this mental subtle painful formation in your mind. And then you cover up by many, many other agitation, like TV, like conversation, like newspaper, TV, in order to forget them. So the practice here is to touch, bring your mind to the body, relax, be totally in the present moment, stop to be pulled away, and then you listen deeply what happened in your mind, subtly, what is subtle difficulties in you, and then how you can touch, soothe them, calm them, and make them very peaceful. It's like you dig a well. More you dig deep, more you have good water. So when you understand the deep root of your difficulties, you understand, and then you can have only compassion. You understand the deep root of your pain, and this comes from which part. And then you, when you understand like that, you cannot stop to love, to understand to love. People cannot force you to love. Compassion cannot be forced. You need to understand the difficulty of yourself and others, person, and that people around. When you understand, compassion comes by itself alone. You do not need to force compassion to come. This compassion will manifest by itself. And when compassion, when love manifests like that, you feel so peaceful, and then you have different look to the person who causes difficulties to you. When you listen deeply to you with little pain, deep pain, subtle pain in you, and that way push you to act in the way that hurt others, and you understand that they also have their own deep pain, and then you understand like that, you can only love you and the other person. And when you can love the other person, when you look at him or her, it's quite a different look. And when you have quite different look, you already stop the war between you both, by yourself, by your unilateral, your behavior. And then you can help you with other person. You also can help your father and mother to reconcile. And then many young person have been able to do that. Those who come to Plum Village very young, their parents were very against. But slowly, slowly the mother come, and slowly the father come. And that is have been done. It's obvious in this community. Many young people start to come by himself, herself. And then finally the father or the mother come. And slowly they reconcile among themselves. In the tradition, we must have 7 days of retreat. Kind of Zen retreat must prolong it 7 days. And the first day is when, if you have 1 day of mindfulness, Thiền Nhất, it means 1 day of mindfulness. So sometimes we have only 5 days of retreat because 7 days is too much. There are people, very few people who can afford to abandon for 7 days. So we start by sometimes 1 day of mindfulness, day of mindfulness, and then weekend mindfulness, and then 5 days of mindfulness. But normally, a traditional way, we need to have 7 days. But 7 days is very mature way because you have enough time to be on this habit, peaceful habit, to be more impregnated in your mind, in the land of your mind. So when you listen to Dhamma talk, it's like a rain of the wonderful, peaceful, understanding teaching. And that rain and your mind is like a land. And that land receives a lot of rain. And it depends on the seed in your mind that you receive in this way, and other people on the same Dhamma talk receive in other way because they have other seed. And then it sprout out a very good manifestation of your action, tends to the Dhamma rain. Dhamma rain, it means the rain of the teaching, of understanding and love. And so it touches you differently than your neighbor, and the sister, and the brother. Is different seed have been watered. So good seed have been watered, the Dhamma rain is countless drop, and it depends on each person that which drop touch which seed in their mind, in the land of their mind. And so usually at the 7th day it will be great. So if you have some difficulties on communication, and so usually it's at the 7 day, 5 day retreat. At the 4th day, I always propose that if you have difficulties with communication with a friend or somebody that close to you, but now is the time. The 4th day is 4 day of practice. It's the time for you to make effort to communicate with him or with her. And I allow them to use a portable telephone, cell phone, in order to call the person they are in difficulty for some time, many years. And I usually make a little bit pressure, and then it's the last day of all, until midnight of today, you have to reconcile. And then they try, and then it's work. Sometimes it look like very difficult to communicate, but after 4 days of practice, their mind is softer, their words are softer, and their heart is more peaceful, and so they can talk easily. So at the 1st day, when you hear something, no, it's impossible for me to communicate with that person. But the 2nd day, you are softer, and the 4th day is soft, much softer. And then at the end of the retreat, there is always report that their reconciliation happened among brother and brothers, father and son, daughter and mother, and husband and wife, in Europe as well as in Asia. And so if you come here, it's for that. Try to practice to touch your peace, to practice to bring your mind to your body, be deeply in touch with what is wonderful in the present moment. Stop to be pulled away by your irritation, your anger, your project. And then when you have that, you know how to handle your situation with beauty and dignity. And so those of you who come here, is for that. If you cannot obtain that, that is the wrong way. And you have to request Dhamma teacher in your hamlet to ask them to teach you the way that you can do it properly. Even you stay for 1 week, try to do it properly in order to be able to go out of your situation of difficulties with beauty. So one day there is one sutu, one novice. They have been with me in the trip to Asia. one of us with me in the trip to Asia. And Brother Fabio wrote to me a very nice letter. He said that he was very surprised when in Thailand he discovered hundreds of his spiritual Dhamma sister and brothers, and he was so surprised. And he was so surprised that he had a very deep connection with all of them. And he said that if need, he can stay on his life in there with them. He don't need to go back to Italy or to other country or to Plumilage. So he said that he feels so deeply connected with all his young brother and sister, or not younger brother and sister in Thailand, like they have been brother and sister for eternally, for many lives. If need, I can stay there. I can stay there for good. I don't need to go back here. The Brother Fabio have reported to me one experience he lived during the Dhamma talk in Hong Kong about more than 9,000 people was at that Dhamma talk at Convention Hong Kong Center. And before that, I already shared the way to evoke an Namo Avalokiteshvaraya, and how you can listen, in the appropriate way, and then you can send your energy to those who are suffering. So usually we do like that three round. And each round, the first round, you send the good energy. The first round, you can be in touch with the suffering in your own mind. In your own mind, the first round of evoking Avalokiteshvaraya, you try to look deep in touch with your own difficulties, your own suffering, your own the most subtle difficulties in you. That when you listen and you do like that, and then when you understand all these difficulties like that, and you understand why you behave in such a way, and why other people suffer, and why the other behave such a way to you, and then there is kind of energy of healing, and you feel really healed. And so the second set of evoking Avalokiteshvara is to be in touch with the suffering of those who are in this very audience in front of you. And you can see the difficulty, the suffering of people in this audience. And when you can see like that, the compassion can manifest in you. And the third set of evoking the Avalokiteshvara name is to be in touch with the suffering of the world. The war in many countries, the conflict, the violence to many species on earth, and by yourself alone, your energy is small, but there is a powerful energy of a lot of monastic to evoke, and then the whole audience of 9,000 people evoke the name verbally, but they also add their feeling, the energy of praying like that, and then it will be very powerful energy, collective energy. And so Fabio said that Western hearing like that, when he evoked the faucet, and he can feel deeply in touch with the suffering in him, and it rise in him, arise in him, of suffering when he was a teenager. There was a big tension between him and his father. That day, his father was very violent. He's about to shout and very violent. And then he was so desperate, and he locked himself in a room and he cried a lot. And he have no energy to live. So she's so disgusted to live. And that day, his father tried enter in his room, and he shouted at his father, "You think that I'm very happy? Do you think that I'm very happy?" I shout back. He shout back to his father. Why? Evoking Avalokiteshvaraya, the first set, I asked like that. And he was in touch with that pain, and then he had an insight. He had an insight that at that moment he suffered like that, but only now that he understood, because he can see that. And he can see that that violent, that suffering is come from his father, and maybe his father received it from his grandpa, and then his violence in him received from father, and the violence father received from grandpa, but they are fighting because they are both violent to each other like that, but this is the same violence transmitting from generation to generation. And so he listened, and he understands his suffering with his father of his, and that pain is vanished. I'm healing for me, I'm healing for my father, I'm healing for my grandpa and many generation, previous generation. In only a few seconds, he can be touched with that feeling. With that feeling, he understood that feeling, that habit energy have been transmitted to him from many, many generations, and so compassion arise. And then he have no pain, no anger to anyone. And he see that he healed, not only for him, but his father, or his grandpa, or his great-grandpa. And then when he evoked the second set of Avalokiteshvara, and he tried to be in touch with 9,000 people in that audience, and among them there are those who have many pain like him. Each of them have a little boy, a little girl in them, and then they also suffer. And so his love embraced 9,000 people in the audience. And so when he evoked Avalokiteshvaraya, is very successful, and a lot of love, a lot of understanding, because you cannot ask yourself to be compassionate to those you hate. You only when you can understand deeply their suffering, their difficulties, and so you have that compassion naturally. So, and he see that he is a monastic. So thanks to that, he practiced day after day, month after month, and then he can have a chance to transform many of his difficulties. And he see that his path is very beautiful. The life of a monastic is so beautiful. And he can transform his suffering as well as suffering of his father, mother, grand ancestor. He is only 21 years old. And he said that Now I'm ready to go everywhere. The Sangha want me to go there, I just go. I don't have any individual desire. My desire is the collective desire of the big river that I'm going. I have no choice. I'm sure that I can serve everywhere. It's proof that even you are young, but you can absorb right away and you can put into application and you can heal, you can help. That we call applied Buddhism. It's not a Buddhism that we tell that the Buddha is great like that, better than other patriarch, other head of other religion, no. The Buddha don't need that, and we don't need that. We only need to use the teaching to transform our difficulties, go out with beauty, with dignity, and help others to do the same. So you come here, please remember, don't try to come here to learn more knowledge on scholastic knowledge on Buddhism. And you train yourself, and you are able to train other people around you, and you can, as a monastic, you can organize retreat to share the true practice of yourself and others, and so that you can help other people to spread the message, the practice of understanding and love and reconciliation and peace. So we have to recognize that every day what you have learned, what you have tried to put into practice, you come here for what? You come here for doing that. Don't try to acquire more knowledge of Buddhism and don't do anything about this knowledge. Every single small knowledge of Buddhism is for putting into practice. Every breath, every step, you have to learn to train yourself to produce peace, to produce happiness. And your ancestors are waiting for you to learn to help yourself and help them in you. So that you can be a good Dharma instrument, a good illustration of the practice, to help people to practice like you. You don't need to be reminded by any big brother and big sister. You know that you have that duty, you have that mission to help yourself and help many generations of ancestors in you and people around you. So now we learn the last stanzas. Stanzas is a poem of 4 verses. And we have learned already quite a lot number of stanzas. And I think that we are going to learn the last one, 4 last one. This body bring a lot of pain, suffering, and very little joy. Among the 9 orifices, there is no orifice who is pure. Orifice is like your nostril, your mouth, your anus, etc. No one is very pure. And you know that is dangerous. You should not do it. And you try to keep peace. And you stop to be bao hua. It means like gossiping, say a lot, but there is no meaning. Trúc được mọi khổ nạn. It means push away, undo all the difficulties. So on your face is 4 orifices, 2 two eyes, two ear, the mouth, two nostril, and the anus, and where you urinate. And those things, is nothing is pure. And the nine orifices is like that. It belongs to the nine mindfulness on the impurity. This body is not very pure. That is one of the practices. It doesn't mean that permanent, eternal practice is one of the practices. You can practice in different way too. So, người có trí tuệ, those who have insight, those who have insight, know how to abandon the danger, keep peace, and stop to be carried away by all the superficial things. Bahwa is superficial things. You exchange the danger to peace. You drop on the superficial things. In our life, there is many, many superficial things. You decide to get rid of these superficial things in order to transcend all the difficulties and have peace. Number 34. This body, the word Tio here in Chinese, there is the word Kim. Kim is kind of metal, a kind of metal that you when you burn, it become melt into liquid. And so this body, when one day it will be destroyed, to be disintegrated, and it will become dust. In the Bible, it's also said that this body is made from the dust, and then it's become dust again, to become this body and become dust again. If you know, you can see like that, you will not be too attached to this body. You're not caught in this body. You will not regret that body. And you look deep that this body is a kind of instrument carrying a lot of difficulties. When you can see that you are not no longer attached to that, caught to that, and then your body, the old age, the sickness, the death will not cut you, will not make you afraid of. And you see that you are no longer only this body. You are larger than this body. You have no fear at all that if this body is sick, is disintegrated. You can get rid of all this attachment. And you, when you see like that, you will behave in very pure, very antique, very dignified way. And then you can attain the great peace when you do can live like that, you can attain that great peace. Get rid of all this dirt, go in that path of purity, you can go, you can reach that very deep peace, great peace. And relying on that insight, you can get rid of all the misperception, the heretic view, and then you can arrive to the state of people who are very great, and you are no longer believe, you do not live in the world of those who are immoral, those who have not great lack of morality, of understanding. And Bhaktutya, it means those, and you know how to rely on those who have understanding, who have insight, in order to get rid of your wrong view. Yep. You will not receive all these negative habit, energy, negative things in the bad environment, and then you arrive to a place of no leak situation. It means when there's leak in your pot, then the content of your pot have nothing. So you arrive to the state of no leak in your behavior. And then there is no leak in any of your behavior. It means the end of all the leaking, the end of the suffering, of the negative habit. Lautang, the end of all these difficulties, of these negative habits. We decide to live a life, blameless life, holy life. Transcending time and space. It means transcend that worldly world and arrive to the outer space where there is no up, down, anger, negative or positive energy. You are free, totally free in that outer space. If we can do like that, and nobody can blame you. The 36th dance, it seems that there is only two verses. Dhammapada is a set of sutra, of teaching of the Buddha, the teaching of the Buddha comprising a number of stanzas or gathas, and gathered by a number of patriarchs, and put them according to subject, each subject. This sutra, these other sutra are similar, you put in that subject. and like about Nibbana, and then you put all the sutras dealing about Nibbana, you put in that set. And then you go to other set, other topics. So there is many chapter. And so there is a chapter about Nibbana. And there is a series of sutra given directly by the Buddha from the earliest time too of his teaching. And the patriarchs, when they combine on these texts given by the Buddha, they put according to each subject. And that is a series of subjects about Nibbana. And this sutra, enjoying relaxingly the outer space, is belong to that chapter. So when the patriarch tried to gather on these teaching sutra, and they also reorganize a little bit, they put into each subject, and you have, when you learn, you also learn in the of the scholar way. But you have, but this sentence have been given here in that subject, and in other subject he speak different. Sometimes you see there is a link between this sentence with other sentence, because the patriarch tried to put it together. And but you must know in advance. You have to see that it's not the sutra given by the Buddha word by word from the beginning to the end, but they try to put together this sentence with other sentence given by the Buddha, but sometime in other place, but they try to put in one context. That we must know that in advance. The second thing we must know, we have to divide in two kind of sutra, and the sutra who have the concrete meaning, and the Chulyung Ismit. The meaning very concrete, and the other one not Leo, it means Leo means mean about the ultimate. The ultimate reality. So there's some sutras to speak about the ultimate reality, and other sutras who speak about the not ultimate reality. For instance, there's some sutra the Buddha taught. You have to get out of the world of birth and death in order to enter into Nibbana. So that you have to go out of the world of birth and death and enter into Nibbana. And this sentence means there is birth, there is death, and there is Nibbana differently. But in other sutra, the Buddha explained that is only a notion. In fact, there is no birth, no death, no coming, no going, like the heart of understanding, Prajna Paramita. Is look. That is we call ultimate sutra. Ultimate sutra, and the not ultimate sutra, like ultimate sutra is Prajna Paramita, but the not ultimate. Ultimate sutra, not ultimate sutra, is like there is birth, death, old age, suffering, But in the heart of Prajnaparamita, no birth, no death, no suffering, no enlightenment. So it's you go to the ultimate dimension. You suffer because you have no happiness. You have happiness, and suffering. So the ultimate sutra, it means you go beyond the world. But sometimes when people look not deeply, they think that the world outside of suffering must be you have to die and you are reborn in the pure land of the Buddha far away or in the kingdom of God far away. But it looks like two sutras different. But because this sutra teaching of the Buddha about the relative reality, relative world, and then the other sutra who speak about the ultimate reality. And so if we... So there is stances who are liungye, it means ultimate dimension. There are those who are not in the ultimate dimension. And you have the impression it's like they are opposite to each other. It's why come, how come that the Buddha spoke like that and the Buddha spoke like the other way? So if you are a scholar, you must know that. So this sutra have 36 stances. You have the ability to discover the which stances belong to the ultimate dimension and which one belong to the non-ultimate dimension. The non-ultimate dimension. Because the ultimate dimension have this beauty, but the non-ultimate dimension have also this job, this way of helping us to practice well. So at the beginning, maybe you need to learn only the non-ultimate sutra. It means there is birth, there is death, there is suffering, there is jealousy, there is anger. How you deal with your anger, how you deal with your suffering, your jealousy, so on. That is the sutra about non-ultimate teaching. So when you read some stances given by the Buddha, it looks like it's no. It doesn't work with the Buddha teaching. But if you are a scholar, you must know that, that is belong to the ultimate dimension. The other one is belonging to the historical dimension. It means a non-ultimate dimension. So you must have that scholar view in order to distinguish and not to be caught and to not to be confused. You must have that ability to recognize which stance in this sutra there is ultimate role and the other sentence have a relative role. And you have to discover by yourself and don't be caught by ultimate or non-ultimate. You use your deep mind in order to see what is the most appropriate in which situation and other situation. So in some sense who said that pure and impure. So in Nibbana there is no pure and no impure. No coming, no going, no suffering, no joy. And there is some sense about that. But there is others then who say that no pure, no in ultimate dimension, no pure, no impure. But in other sense, and in this body, there is something impure. 9 orifices, very impure. That is a kind of complementing each other. You say something about ultimate dimension. You say something about relative dimension in order to see. So first of all, you have to read from the beginning to the end, and you discover which one is the ultimate meaning, and the other one is not ultimate meaning, relative meaning only. And then be caught. I need to remind you about that. If not, it looks like contradictory. The patriarchs, they tried to put in arranging good way, like the first four gathas. I try to give a hint to you. You have to discover by yourself alone. Don't believe on me. You have to find your own. And the first four stances, in order to say that Nibbana is the highest, the super higher. The second sentence, the Buddha have praised a lot, many things, but Nibbana is the Buddha praised the highest. The most delightful one. The Buddha praise is the most delightful one. And then the third one is the greatest happiness. And the fourth sentence is, it means very number one, Nibbana is number one. And the others, he always tried to say that the most important is Nibbana. Extension of on the relative way of distinguishing. The fifth sentence stanza, who said that the Nibbana even exists, is there available to us, but we only need to know the way in order to enter into Nibbana. The Pure Land, Nibbana, love, understanding is still there. But there are those who cannot enter into the path of love and understanding. But those who can. So you need some key. Some device in order to be able to enter. And the fifth, and then the sixth. Yeah. I think that is very poetic. For me, I'm a poet, so I also feel that it's very poetic on the image, like the deer, they like the countryside, like the bird, the birds like the sky, and we can distinguish what is the manifestation, the mutual manifestation, and then the great beings always rely on Nibbana to live. So you live the worldly life, but with the ground of Nibbana, you behave freely, beautifully, with dignity, without any effort, because you have already that crown of Nibbana in you. Having the crown of Nibbana, but you still walk, you still work, you still speak, you still act, but you act on that crown. In order to be relaxed. And it's very cool, that ground of coolness, of freshness, of peace. And on that ground, you can manifest in many ways, but in relaxing way. When you have all these difficulties, the suffering, the pains, anger, hatred, you are like burned by some fire of hatred, of anger. But when you extinct, all these things is very cool. So Nibbana textually means the extinction of all this fire. So the rely on that extinction of fire, but on this suffering, they have the reason to be there, to manifest, because there's some fuel. So if we have that fuel because of our ignorance, because we are ignorant, we see that they are birth, they are death, they are him different to us, she different to us, and then she's naughty, I'm good, and so that discrimination is make you suffer. So the definition of Nibbana is the extinction of on the wrong perception, wrong idea. So Nibbana have these two things. First is coolness, freshness, and then the second is no discrimination. I and you different, but in fact you are like that, so I am like that. I am like that and you are like that. Don't think that the fault come from only other side. You play a big role in what happened in the bad situation you are now. So you have, that is a discriminative way. And if you have that Nibbana ground, and then you see the very relaxing way to undo the difficulties and go out, the extension of on this, on the wrong perception, discrimination, distinguish between you and me, him and I, non-dualistic way. So the six gathas, the six gatha prove that Nibbana is something existing, is now, is not when you die, is not outside of this world. Nibbana is something here and now, it exists now. Like the wave is already water. The wave don't have to run after water. The wave need only to stop, to look deep and see that the wave is in the same time water. And because she or he doesn't see that she's water, so she see that she's have moment where she's high, high and down and high, and so fear to be down and to so exaggeratedly happy when it's high. But you see that you are water, high is fine, low is fine, large is fine, thin is fine. And so other way, they are so busy, they don't see themselves, and they are full of fear to be down, full of pride, and to be high. But you can stop, you can see that you are in the same time, the wave and the water, and you have no fear. High is good, down is also good. The definition, the two definitions of Nibbana have been repeatedly appear in many gathas. It means the distinction of suffering, the extinction of discrimination, dualistic discrimination. And the dualistic discrimination is to see that I have a separate self, and then he or she have another separate self, and she's violent, I'm not violent. It's not totally true. Some in you have provoked him to be violent, some of him to provoke you into violence too. So some stance spoke about the extent of suffering, and some stance spoke about the extension of on the wrong perception. The coming, the thing of coming, going, appear, disappear. So that is, we call relative dimension, relative reality. And then the ultimate reality. So you are an intelligent person. You have to discriminate. You have to distinguish by yourself which one is the relative one and which one is the ultimate one. Relative sutra and ultimate sutra. And there is some practice very concrete to help you to enter Nibbana, like the bird can easily go back to the sky, like the fish easily go back to the water, like the deer easily go back to the countryside, to the prairie meadow. And so if the deer do not go to the forest, to the countryside, but go to the city, they are not happy. And the fish go to the thin air, is not happy. So Nibbana is the path who teach you how to go back to Nibbana in this world. Like you live a very integral life, simple life. Look deep into your body and your mind and have a very simple life. And help you by that way, it helps you to be in touch with Nibbana easily. Like the Santa Claus. Santa Claus is very necessary to us. And the children grow up, they know that Santa Claus is not true. Their parents lie them. But when they are young, they believe and then they are very happy. And they know that when they go to sleep and then in Christmas day, they wake up and they will see some good gift. And they believe that Santa Claus do not go by the door, but go by the chimney and enter. And they believe it and they are very happy. And he carry a lot of toys and put in his sock and very excited. And Santa Claus play a good role to give happiness for children. And so when you grow up, you know that there is no Santa Claus, but you pretend to have Santa Claus in order to give joy to your children. And you go to sleep so Santa Claus can enter into chimney and bring toys to you. The parents do not believe it, but the parents know that is a path who help their children to be happy. When they grow up, they know that is wrong. And when they become parents, they also lie to the children exactly the same. Santa Claus is a continuous lie. But a good lie is for everybody to enjoy, and children to enjoy. So you go to the temple, you pay respect to the Buddha. Your mom tells that in the temple there is a Buddha. You only can see the Buddha in the temple. You have to bring banana, orange, incense to bring to the temple. And then your mom tells you that the place where you can find the Buddha is in the temple. And when you grow up, you know that it's not true. The Buddha is in you. The Buddha is in you when you are holy, when you are understanding your love. But you still go to the temple. Those who practice well, soon or late, you see that the Buddha is not in the temple, but in each of you. When you behave beautifully, profoundly, full of understanding and love. And it's not an invention of me, but you can see that in many patriarchs have seen that. And if we say that the Buddha is on the altar, it's one way of speaking only. when you say that when you die, you are born in the pure land and or in the kingdom of God, it's a kind of Santa Claus. It's only for children. And then you are born in the kingdom of God and you sit in front of God. That is also Santa Claus, a kind of Santa Claus. And if you practice well, you have to see that God is in you. The Buddha is in you. Now and here. In Buddhism, there are those who practice and have seen that. And the Buddha in the West, in the temple. It's okay. And they can see that the Pure Land, the Buddha is in here and now where you are when you are determined to touch Nibbana, to touch something very deep in you, very great, very relaxing, peaceful in you. And you think that God is in the sky, the Buddha is in other world. It's a way to say it only. God is not in up there. God is in you and around you. And the kingdom of God is here and now around you. So in Plum Village, we several times repeat that. The Pure Land is here or never. The kingdom of God is here or never. If you cannot touch the kingdom of God here and now, you cannot touch Buddha here and now, you will never see the Buddha. And the Pure Land, and it's not an invention of Plum Village, but many patriarchs have said so. The Amitabha Buddha is your nature, is in your heart. And if you say that Amitabha Buddha is in the West, and when you die, and you are born in the West, that is Santa Claus story for the beginners. If you practice well, you don't need to go to the West. You don't need to die to go to the West country of Amitabha Buddha. The Buddha is here and now and in you. And it's true and it's concrete. You can touch it. And the kingdom of God is also true here and now. And you can touch it if you train yourself properly. Nibbana is the same. Nibbana is not a world far away that you can practice very hard and to arrive to that place. But Nibbana is here, available now and here. It's your own nature. You have to put Nibbana in the right place. Here and now. In the sutra and there's many times they say that Hiện Pháp Niết Bàn is a present Nibbana. So it's not my invention. It's said in the sutra Hiện Pháp Niết Bàn, it means the present Nibbana. Dharma is Pháp here. Yes. Drista Dharma. Nirvana. Present. Nibbana in the present moment. And we don't want to be a child to be tricked by adults saying that Nibbana is Santa Claus. No, we don't want that. We have to make another step to see that Nibbana is present here and now. Like the sky is for birds, the countryside and forest are for deer. And so Nibbana is for you in the here and now, in your daily. So in the retreat organized by practitioner in Nottingham University in UK, and I said that the crisis of the spirituality in the West is happened because of the loss of belief on God. Because people put God in the wrong place. If you put God in the right place, there is no crisis of spirituality in the West. So if you put God in the right place, everything will be fine again. That is a matter of culture. It's also the mother of culture. And in Christianity tradition, there are some Christian mystics who have found that. It's not me who discovered that. I have seen some Christian mystics have found that. And God is present here and now. And if you want, you can enter into the kingdom of God right away, in the present here and now. At the beginning, in Buddhism, same. If you breathe consciously, mindfully, and so you can see Nibbana open, and then you can enter into the world of no birth, no death, no coming, no going, and birth and death are only notion in you. And so God could be perceived like your nature of birthlessness, deathlessness, very cool, very peaceful. And that coolness, that peace exists right here and now. And so, and instead of saying that, we can read, our Father is here, is right here and now. Instead of praying, and our Father is in here and now. Father is only a notion, it's just a name. Like Amitabha Buddha is a Buddha, endless life, endless, without limit, light, and endless life. Yeah. So, God is that birthlessness, deathlessness, coolness, peace. And there are some mystics in Christianity have found that. And they said that then they can rest in God every day. And resting in God, they can having good time in the realm of no birth and no death, where there is no burning, no fire of anger, emotion, irritation. If you are burned by this fire of affliction, if you are burned by that fire of discrimination, wrong perception, and make you full of fear and worries, you must know that you have no nibbana in you. Nibbana is the extinction of all this fire, all this discrimination, this wrong, erroneous notion. So humanity need to make another step. Humanity cannot stick to that place that they were with a lot of suffering. They need to make another step to enter into Nirvana, to enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. You don't need to come and you don't need to go. The kingdom of God is here already there. Nirvana is already here and now already. You cannot describe Nirvana or the kingdom of God by the notion of I and you and coming and going. It's very sacred. There is no notion who can describe that. Like, there is no notion can describe Nirvana, because Nirvana is the extension of all the notion discriminative notion, I and you, and him and her, and having, if we say that God exists, a God doesn't exist is very funny, because you are fighting in the world of relative. Don't be caught by all this notion. In the West, there is the situation of double belonging. You are in the same time Christian and Buddhist. And there is no duality, no conflicting situation at all. You are in the same time Christian and Buddhist, Jewish and Buddhist. And you can be double belonging. The double belonging is different from double grasping. For grasping is a bad thing in Buddhism, but double belonging is good. You are in the same time a child of God and a child of the Buddha. No problem. So this Christmas, try to look deeper about that. Look deeper about that. If you can for love, that double belonging, you stop the discrimination, that stop the division, and bringing solidarity, stability for the world.